Chapter 1. The Martian Six. You're witnessing history in the making, folks. In just a few minutes, the Martian Six will be revealed for all the world to see. A well-dressed reporter spoke into the lens of a large news camera. Journalists from every outlet swarmed onto the lawn of the Man on Mars headquarters. Security guards lined the perimeter of the impressive industrial building, checking credentials as only the elite filed inside. Emma raced her rundown sedan into the jammed parking lot, past a lot full sign. Come on, she mumbled to herself as she scoured the area for a space to leave her car. Emma checked the clock for the millionth time, praying the numbers would somehow stop ticking away. She sped past a fire hydrant red zone and slammed on the brakes, causing her worn-out work bag to fall off the front seat. A blue credential badge flew out and onto the floor. She cranked the car in reverse and dipped into the illegal space. Emma grabbed her bag and booked it toward the front door without noticing the fallen credentials. She pretended not to hear the meter maid calling after her. Excuse me, you can't park there. Emma's petite heels pounded the pavement as she weaved past clusters of people loitering around the media event. She pushed her way to the front, taking a breath only when she reached the door. Badge? A security guard asked. She nodded and reached into her bag. The knot in her stomach rose to her throat as she desperately searched for the blue lanyard she received only a half hour before. No badge, no entry. I have one, I swear, she promised, without taking her eyes from the contents of her tired work bag, which was falling apart at the seams. Step aside, ma'am. I've got to get everyone in. They're starting in 5 minutes.
Please, I...
Step aside. The security guard waved on the next person in line. Accredited journalists pushed past, forcing Emma toward the back of the line. Tears welled from her brown eyes. Sweat dripped down her forehead as she took in the surrounding chaos. Security pushed back an increasing number of people that came to see the show. Some wore alien costumes, others held signs to get the media's attention. A lucky few gave commentary to the countless news cameras spread across the lawn. Another security guard pushed Emma closer to the fray. Think quick, 5 minutes. There's still time. Emma ran past the throng of people, out onto the sidewalk, and toward the rear of the steel building. In the very back, a tall metal fence blocked an unguarded entrance. She took a deep breath and scaled the fence with her heeled feet. Emma struggled to pull herself up and over, but with true grit, she swung over the fence and climbed down the other side. She skipped over to the large steel door that stood between her and the story. It was locked. Damn it! Frustration choked Emma from the inside as she paced in front of the barrier to entry. Her desperation increased with each step she took. Can I help you? Emma looked up, startled. A man in his mid-20s, around her age, peered out from around a nearby dumpster. Emma was relieved he wasn't wearing a security uniform. Can you let me in? She asked. He examined her for a beat and then said, Sure. Emma exhaled in immense relief. What's the magic password? He asked with a smile. Look, I don't have time for this. I'm from the Sentinel. I have a badge, but it's gone. I'm usually super organized, but my boss gave me this assignment at the last minute because the senior reporter called in sick. It's a huge opportunity for me, my first big gig as a field reporter. Will you please just let me in? Distress oozed out of Emma's forced smile. The man smiled genuinely in response and pulled out an ID card, which he scanned. The thick door clicked open. Anyone willing to scale a fence in those shoes deserves to be let in, he ushered Emma inside. You work here? Emma asked, as she followed him down a sterile corridor with flickering fluorescent lights. You said you're here for the press conference. Didn't you watch the selection show? He asked without answering her question. If I knew I was getting this gig, I would have, but I hate reality TV. After seeing the fight-filled commercials meant to drive ratings, I boycotted the show. It amazes me that a legitimate mission to Mars would pick their people by putting them in a house together to film them 24/7. I agree, but at least there were skill tests involved, he said. Ha! Ratings and telephone voting picked the Martian Six. Skill and intelligence had nothing to do with it.
It was the highest-rated competition show of the century, the man said as he stopped at a fork in the hallway. The conference room is that way.
Emma thanked him profusely as she raced away without looking back. The press conference was already underway when Emma entered the room, stuffed with unruly reporters. She was skinny enough to elbow her way forward a few rows from the back, as if at a general admission concert, the crowd slowly inching toward the coveted front row. Stephen Gross, the communications director of the Man on Mars project, stood at a podium wearing a designer three-piece suit. His hair was perfectly coiffed, and his white teeth sparkled like a toothpaste commercial. He delivered his speech like a motivational speaker. "Ever since the world's leading scientists launched the Man on Mars project, hundreds of thousands of people volunteered to be the pioneers of the last frontier. They sent in detailed applications explaining exactly why they'd make the perfect pilgrim. Thousands of people begged for the one-way ticket, for a chance to make the history books as one of six to colonize Mars. We've chosen to send regular citizens because we aim to establish a permanent colony on the Red Planet. A colony composed of everyday people who represent the rich variety of society. They will leave Earth behind forever. Mars will be their new home. This is no small task, and after months of arduous deliberations, we have finally chosen the Martian Six. Now, without further ado, I present to you the Martian Six." The director's voice boomed as cheesy music played. "Jack Carter." Jack, a 20-year-old with a mohawk, howled and ran through the curtains. He threw his muscular body into a handstand, dangling himself like a piece of meat for the reporters to devour. Cameras flashed, reporters called his name, and Jack howled again before pacing behind the table like a wrestler walking the ring before a championship fight. He banged on his chest, and the director reminded him to take a seat. Jessica Jewell was announced next. She was a skinny, bleached blonde with big boobs popping out of her tight top. Jessica posed like an X-rated Marilyn Monroe and giggled like a naughty schoolgirl. "That's one way to make sure the colony procreates, but how will she fit those things into a spacesuit?" the male reporter next to Emma joked. Emma glared at him in response as Jessica jumped up and down, jiggling her assets for the cameras. "Ryan Clark," the director announced through the microphone. The man that helped Emma inside the back entrance casually stepped out from behind the curtain, nodded modestly, and offered a small wave. He closed his eyes against the blinding lights of the flashing cameras. When he opened them, Ryan locked eyes with Emma. Without breaking his gaze, he took a seat at the table. Ryan's humble demeanor surprised Emma. She pictured the Martian Six as boisterous reality TV stars, nothing like the simple man that came to the rescue in her desperate time of need. Emma wondered how he made it through the superficial selection process. She kept her eyes trained on him, examining his every detail like Sherlock Holmes. Ryan had short brown hair, but not too short, like a military kid. His posture was strong, but not too rigid. His hands looked soft, and she guessed that he spent more time pushing papers than doing any hard labor. He was fit enough to swing a hammer, but educated enough not to have to. He wore an understated suit and tie, but nothing name brand, so he wasn't some bored rich kid trying to get back at mommy and daddy. Why did he sign up for this suicide mission? And how did he win over the hearts of the voting public? Emma was so fixated on Ryan, she didn't catch the name of the next member of the Martian Six. Luckily, the overly tanned man leapt out of his dramatic surfer stance pose and spoke into the microphone with a thick Australian accent. "That's Greg with two G's." The next woman called was Desi, a slightly overweight woman from Amsterdam. Her smile was bigger than her face, and she chuckled for the reporters before taking her seat. Last but not least, the final member of the Martian Six was Amy, an African-American woman with a Brooklyn accent. She ran behind the rest of the chosen ones, giving and getting exaggerated high fives as she called out, "Give me some sugar! All right! Woo!" Her presence was larger than life. "Okay, we'll take a few questions now," the director stated. The swarm of reporters screamed out for Stephen Gross's attention like little kids seeking validation. Emma hadn't been in the field much, but she knew how this worked. The seasoned reporters at the top papers bribed their way to the front row. They probably already had exclusives lined up right after. There she was, crammed in at the side of the room like a dog begging for scraps. They would never call on her. Just as she suspected, the reporters in the front row were selected, asking generic, pre-approved questions about what it was like to be one of the chosen six. They'd ask the real questions in their exclusive. Emma perked up when it was time for Ryan to answer. He spoke quietly, and Stephen Gross told him to move closer to the microphone so everyone could hear him. "I'm glad the whole process is over. Now the work begins. The next 2 years of training will be intense, but that's all that matters." Ryan looked right at Emma when he answered. Without thinking, she took the small window of opportunity and called out a question a split second after he finished his response. "Ryan! Emma from the local Sentinel, can you tell us what that training will entail?" Ryan smiled at her, and she felt fireworks exploding in her stomach. She shook off the emotion, chalking it up to being excited to get a question out on her first major assignment.
"Well,"
Ryan started to answer, but the director cut him off.
"That will be revealed in the next installment of media," Gross answered elusively.
"Does that mean the TV show will continue?" Emma asked forcefully. It was rare to get two questions in, especially being the new kid on the block. "While the television series will not continue now that we have our Martian Six, there will be a feature documentary that will be distributed theatrically worldwide. That's all I can say at this time." The director took a few more questions from the front of the room, knowing these would be safer for him to discuss. Emma looked back at Ryan and couldn't help but smile. She felt indebted to him for allowing her voice to be heard through the jungle of noise, not to mention getting her into the building in the first place. Her inquisitive nature gnawed at her with a deep desire to know more about him. She was drawn to anomalies, things that seemed slightly out of place. Ryan Clark definitely fit the bill as he sat quietly at the table of outspoken personalities. "Thank you. That will be all for today," Stephen Gross rapped with. The Martian Six stood up as the cameras attacked them with their flashes. Several of the front row reporters approached the director, presumably to initiate their previously paid-for exclusives. Other reporters made a mad rush to the front, trying to pin down one of the Martian Six. Emma stretched onto the tips of her toes to get another glimpse of Ryan, who was being mobbed by reporters. Unlike Jessica or Jack, who glowed from the attention, Ryan's eyes darted around the room looking for an escape. Emma pushed her way toward him. "Ryan!" she called out, just as he was about to duck behind the curtain, away from the prying eyes of the press. Her voice made its way through the crowded room and tickled his ear. Ryan grinned as he turned around to greet her. He looked at Emma with deep, penetrating eyes. She hadn't paid him much attention when they first met, but now she noticed him up close for the first time. She couldn't put her finger on it, but there was something so magnetic about him. He was traditionally handsome, but there was a glow to him that had nothing to do with his fit body, chiseled cheekbones, or straight white teeth. God, did he smell good. Emma stood there for a moment without speaking. "Hello," Ryan said to jumpstart the conversation. "Hi, I'm
Emma from the local Sentinel,"
he finished her sentence. She felt like a schoolgirl who just found out the cutest guy in class knew she existed. She laughed nervously. "Yeah, right. Hey, thanks again for letting me in back there." Her heart pounded so hard in her chest, she wondered if he could hear it.
"I could tell it meant a lot to you,"
Ryan said as he slid his hands in his pockets. "I'd love to talk to you more, get to know you better. Maybe we could get together sometime," Emma stammered out. "Are you asking me out on a date?" Ryan asked with a smirk. "Oh, no, I'm asking you for an exclusive interview," she responded, trying to keep her cool. "This is my first big assignment, and it'd really mean a lot to me." "Okay, we can go out on an interview," Ryan chuckled. Emma blushed behind her smile and swallowed her nerves. "Great. Well, here's my card." She pulled out her business card and handed it to him. Ryan studied it more carefully than she would have liked. It hadn't been updated with her new title yet.
"Great, I'll call you,"
he said before ducking back behind the curtain. Emma left the conference on a natural high, her body tingling with excitement. Nothing could take her down a notch, not even the $60 parking ticket waiting on her car. Emma went home to her tiny studio apartment and a quick recap article poured out of her fingertips and into her computer. Besides divulging the names of the Martian Six, which was all that was required of her, she also uncovered the upcoming documentary and capped it off with a few probing questions about the challenges the mission faced. She sent the announcement to her boss with a request to write a full feature after she scored the exclusive interview with Ryan. Emma was excited for the opportunity to show what she was capable of. If she played her cards right, she'd be writing headline news from now on. No more small human interest stories that gained little attention and no notoriety. Eager to know more about Ryan, she searched for him online. Emma pored over the fan sites and press pages and inhaled all the episode clips she could find. She discovered that he had a master's degree in public policy with a minor in biology. Ryan was single, with no siblings. His parents died in a car crash a few years earlier, leaving him with no immediate family. "I can relate to that," she thought. Her mother died a year ago of breast cancer, and she hated even admitting she had a father. At least she was close with her sister, Ashley. Without the stability of siblings, she sympathized with the innate loneliness that Ryan inherited the day his parents died. Being a journalist gave Emma a hardened edge, but when she watched the televised clip of Ryan telling his fellow housemates why he should be picked, she wept like a baby. His answer was the antithesis of someone pandering for the public's vote. "When my parents died, I did a lot of soul searching. I wondered, why? Why did they die? Why do we live? What am I supposed to do with my life? I don't have answers to these questions yet, but what I do know is this. Life is so fragile. We never know when our time will come. I might die on Mars, but if giving up my life gives the future of mankind more time to figure out why it exists and what happens next, it'd be worth it. I'd rather give my life to a cause than to a car accident." Emma wondered what Ryan's parents were like, but she only found their obituary online. She imagined them as old-fashioned and kind, the type of conscientious parents that raised their son to truly listen and treat others with respect. Emma spent the rest of the evening binge-watching the Martian Six elimination show. It didn't surprise her to see that Jack divided the house in half, demanding everyone pick sides and create strategic alliances. Ryan refused to play into Jack's game and instead went to each person individually to discuss where he stood on that round of eliminations. He even explained his stance to the man he nominated to go home. "I have no family here on Earth, and of course there'd be things I'd miss. But I'd rather sacrifice my future on this planet than see someone with a family go up there. So that is why I regretfully vote for Mark. I'm sorry, man, but I believe your children would thank me." The camera panned to Mark, an applicant who Emma didn't recognize in the final six. He nodded knowingly and hugged Ryan. Clip after clip, Emma was amazed at Ryan's honest behavior amongst the manipulated circumstances of reality TV. During a difficult simulation challenge, he was the only one that listened to the quiet and unassuming contestant, Grace, and championed her strong ideas without passing them off as his own. He remained unwaveringly calm when a blue-haired applicant, Maximilian, tried to instigate a meaningless fight with him in the fourth round of eliminations. During a timed challenge where contestants were forced to choose between saving one team member and defusing a fake bomb, Ryan somehow did both. Emma couldn't get enough and watched clips until the wee hours of the night. She especially loved Ryan's speech in the final episode. "I hope I'm fit enough to endure the harsh tests we will no doubt face. I hope I'm smart enough to problem solve the inevitable things that will go wrong. I hope I'm free of attachments so I can make any sacrifice necessary to keep the colony alive and hopefully thrive. I'm ready to put my life on the line. But if there are people more qualified than me, then I fully support them in their journey. This isn't about me. It's about evolving the human race. I want what's best for the mission and for the future of mankind." Emma sat in her pajamas with tears in her eyes. She had never met a man like Ryan. He was a far cry from the bad boys she dated in college, that's for sure. There was loneliness in his voice that stirred her from inside. She wanted to reach into her computer screen and grab him, hold on to him, and never let go. Just like he won over the world's hearts, he had won over Emma's. In her tiny cubicle at work, Emma ate a jelly donut and stared longingly at her computer screen. She was devouring yet another article about Ryan Clark. He was all she'd thought about since the press conference. She soaked up any little tidbit of information about her new favorite celebrity, from the supposed color of his toothbrush to the meaning of his name, which was King of Scholars. "Where's my exclusive, Em?" John barked, startling Emma from her infatuation-induced hypnosis. She minimized her web browser, hoping her boss didn't see her drooling over pictures of her new obsession. "It's coming, I promise," she said with a tinge of doubt. It had been 3 days, and Ryan still hadn't called. "I hope so. I'd hate to make you cover that golf resort fundraiser instead," John said as he passed her cubicle without stopping. John was a cool boss, still in his 30s, but already the lead editor of the paper. "Do people really care if the resort raises enough money to build a new clubhouse?" she called after him. "Keep asking those tough questions, Em. I love that about you." John laughed as he walked into his office and shut the door. Emma exhaled as she felt the opportunity slowly slipping from her grasp. If she didn't deliver on her proposal soon, she'd be sent back to the obscurity of small local news. John had just given her a promotion to junior reporter, up from researcher, and he graciously accepted her proposal to write her first big feature that would probe the Man on Mars project further. She maximized her web browser, and Ryan's smiling face filled her screen again. Why hasn't he called? She felt like a teenager again, waiting for the phone to ring. Maybe he wasn't able to talk to the press. She imagined him sequestered in that cold steel building. Or maybe he lost her card. She figured she better get in touch with him, just to be sure. Emma picked up the phone and called the Man on Mars project. "Man on Mars, how may I direct your call?" a receptionist asked. "May I speak to Ryan Clark, please?"
"We appreciate your interest in the Martian Six, but they can't come to the phone right now. If you'd like to donate to the mission, please visit us online at..." Emma interrupted.
"This is Emma Davis from the Sentinel. I'm calling about an exclusive interview. Please hold for our press department." Before Emma could say anything else, elevator music played. She was on hold for a minute and a half before an assistant picked up. "Man on Mars press department, how may I direct your call?"
"I'd like to speak to Ryan Clark. This is Emma from the Sentinel."
"Who?"
"Emma Davis, from the Sentinel."
Emma spoke in a low voice, trying to sound important.
"Okay, and who are you trying to reach?"
"Ryan Clark."
"There's no Ryan Clark in this office, ma'am."
"He's one of the Martian Six," Emma exclaimed.
After a brief pause, the assistant said, "I don't see Ryan Clark in the directory. Do you know his extension?" Emma sighed.
"No, I don't. He's in the astronaut program, for the mission to Mars. Have you heard of it?"
"Please hold."
More elevator music played before a man picked up the line.
"Hello."
The man spoke in a gruff voice.
"Hello, who is this?" Emma asked.
"This is Ryan Allen in the engineering department. Who are you trying to reach?"
"I need to speak to Ryan Clark," Emma replied.
Without another word, the man put her on hold again. She moaned with frustration.
"Man on Mars, how may I direct your call?"
a receptionist asked. It sounded like the same person Emma started with. She shook her head and hung up the phone. There was no way she was going to get through to him. It was up to Ryan to initiate contact. Emma hoped and prayed he'd call before John yanked her onto another story that few people would actually read.
"How's your first feature coming?"
Ashley asked as she ate a forkful of salad. Emma slammed her head down onto her kitchen table.
"That good, huh?
I really thought I had an exclusive with the most thoughtful, interesting man." Emma's insides ached as she talked about him.
"Are we still talking about those trashy reality TV people they're sending to Mars?" Ashley asked.
"They're not all trashy like I thought. That was judgmental of me to think." Ashley's face wrinkled with confusion.
"He's different, and we're supposed to get together, but..."
"He?" Ashley saw right through Emma. "Sounds like you've got a crush on this guy, whoever he is."
"I do not. I just really want him to call me for the article, so I can get an edge on the competition."
Emma kept speaking as her sister's dark brown eyes knowingly drilled holes in her story.
"So I can solidify myself in the headline news arena." As Emma stuffed pasta into her mouth, her cell phone rang. She didn't recognize the number. She usually wouldn't answer her phone at the dinner table, but it might be him. "Hello?" she answered, her mouth still full of food.
"Hello? Is this Emma?"
It had been 3 days since they met, but she'd recognize his voice anywhere. Her heart dropped into her stomach, and she sucked down her salad, choking herself in the process. Emma coughed and motioned hysterically for Ashley to get her some water. "Hello? Are you there?" Ryan asked as she coughed and threw back her drink. "Yeah, it's me. Who's this?" Emma asked, pretending not to sound desperate to talk to him. "It's Ryan Clark," he answered, sensing her embellishment.
"Ryan, great to hear from you. How is everything?"
Emma got up from the table and walked away from her sister so she could speak more freely. There wasn't really anywhere to go in her small apartment, so she turned her back on Ashley to give herself the illusion of privacy.
"Good. Everything's good. Sorry I took so long to call. We've been sequestered. They wouldn't let us call anyone until we'd been completely debriefed."
"Debriefed? That sounds official."
Emma cringed at herself. She sounded like a giddy schoolgirl instead of the professional journalist she strived to be. He laughed a little, which put her more at ease. "Yeah, things are getting pretty intense around here," Ryan said, his voice confiding in her that he was more stressed than she had ever seen him in the clips from the elimination process. Emma wondered what trials he had endured since she saw him last.
"Can we meet up?" she asked impatiently.
Emma realized she worded the question without mentioning the exclusive interview.
"That'd be great," he said.
"Name a time and place," she said with a smile. Emma scrawled an address down on a piece of paper and wished Ryan a good night before hanging up the phone. She walked back into the kitchen, beaming. "That was him? The mystery man who is different from all the others?" Ashley asked, gently teasing.
"His name is Ryan, and yes, that was him. We're meeting up tomorrow."
Emma couldn't contain her excitement. A wide smile spread across her face, and her eyes sparkled with enthusiasm.
"Emma, I know you haven't dated since college," Ashley started, but Emma cut her off.
"I know I've made some bad decisions, but I'm not stupid enough to date a man who's leaving the planet. Don't worry, this is not a date. It's for the article," Emma said, trying to convince herself more than her sister.
"Okay, good. Well, now that you're in a better mood, I wanted to ask you about something."
Ashley's voice went down an octave. This sounded serious.
"Sure. What's up?"
"Well, I know you're not really interested in looking for Dad, but—"
"No,"
Emma cut Ashley off abruptly. "My 30th birthday is coming up, and I'd like to invite him to my big bash."
"Why would you even want him there?"
"I don't know, I just do." Mist collected in Ashley's eyes. Emma shook her head, but said nothing else. She didn't want to tell her sister the truth about their estranged father who left them right after Emma was born. Every so often, Ashley mentioned the idea of reaching out to find him, but Emma always shot her down. Not because she wasn't curious, but because she had already found him. Being the investigative type, it didn't take long to track him down. That was the easy part. But nothing could have prepared Emma for what she found. She had expected a low-life type of guy who had every excuse not to follow through on his familial obligations, but the truth hurt much more than that. He actually lived within a few hours' drive from them, and worst of all, he'd remarried and had 2 new kids he happily looked after. Emma never understood why he chose those kids over her and Ashley. Were they somehow superior to deserve his love? Had she done something wrong to make her father want to stay away? How could he completely abandon them without so much as a phone call or birthday card? She decided these hurtful questions were the few in life better left unanswered, for Emma had a deep-seated fear of the potential answers that accompanied them. And so, whenever Ashley brought up the subject, Emma always had the same response. "You're welcome to look for him, but I'm not interested in hearing anything about it." Emma would rather focus all of her attention on the fascinating man that had a one-way ticket to Mars.